Did you know the biggest map in a video game belongs to The Elder Scrolls II, Daggerfall? It's 62,394 square miles. That's 4,000 times bigger than Skyrim. You're listening to the Xbox Hub podcast, the official podcast of the xboxhub.com. For the latest Xbox news, reviews, videos, and opinions, make sure you visit thexboxhub.com. But for now, settle down, get comfy, and open your ears for some podcast delights. Hello, welcome to the Xbox Hub official podcast, episode number 12. My name is Gareth Brady. I'm your host, and to my virtual left has been Mr. Neil Watton. Hi, Neil.
How you doing, all right?
I'm very good, thank you. And to my virtual right is Mr. James Burks. How you doing, James?
Hey. Nice to be around here, all right?
I'm very good. Do you know what? This is my last day of work. Today, I've had the maddest day. I had to do other things. I do castings. I had to pretend to be scared of a dinosaur. Yeah. Oh. I had to pretend to have a family. And then on the way back on the tube in London, I had to stop a fight between an elf and someone dressed as Super Mario. They were fighting on the tube drunk. That's been my day. And then we're here now.
Just an average day in London now.
Yeah. What about you?
What was your highlight of those three? Is it pretend to have a family or pretend to have dinosaurs?
I like the dinosaur one. I can't say what it was. But at one point, there was no context at all. They just suddenly was doing this casting. When you're doing a casting, they go, okay, you're in this place, doing this. And suddenly went, and to your right is a dinosaur. And it's coming towards you. And no idea why the dinosaur was there. Yeah, so that's, yeah, dinosaur was good. It was a good start to the day.
Keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. What about you guys? Anything fun this week that's happened? This Christmas week?
Yeah, it's been a busy one. Oh, getting everything ready, present-wise, and getting all the cards written.
Good.
I don't know why I bother with cards. Waste of time, aren't they?
Well, they're a bit weird, aren't they?
Yeah. Especially, so now it just seems like a waste, doesn't it?
It does, especially when you just get the same one for everyone in a pack. Yeah. Like everyone does, because it's cheaper, quite right. And you just sort of send it out, it doesn't feel, and then no one's kind of writing personal messages to each person, are they?
No.
It's like a treasure.
It's just like doing autographs, isn't it?
Yeah.
Write your name.
Yeah.
Who's it for?
Maybe, James, you should set up a table and they could just come to you and you just sign them.
Yeah. Anyone want one?
Yeah.
What do they do at the end? They just bin it anyway.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's there for a week in the bin. I haven't written a single card this year. I don't think I did one last year. Probably not one the year before. I hate cards.
I know.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan.
Also, with social media, you just say Happy Christmas. I mean, that does it. That does the same job. It doesn't... Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, well, that's it. We've bar-hummed Christmas already. What about you, Neil? Anything you could bar-hum Christmas about?
Oh, put Christmas tree up eventually.
Oh.
It was kind of sitting around in the lounge, non-decorated for about 4 days, I think. Just sitting there. We just didn't have time to put anything on it. But hey, we bought it and it was just there.
Right.
Last weekend, we finally the kids got around to putting the stuff on it.
So you had a tree in the middle of the living room?
Yeah, I always have a real tree because I don't believe in fake ones.
Okay.
And if you're not having a real tree, it's not even Christmas.
You're saying that now, and I'm looking at my fake tree across the room.
Yeah, well, it's not real Christmas, is it?
Okay, Christmas is
canceled. But yeah, it was just there for a few days, just kind of looking all lonely and sad and whatever. But hey, it's got lights on now, and we occasionally switch them on when we can be asked. Yeah.
So that's been your week. Are you finished work now? Is it all finishing?
Yeah, right. I'll still be doing website stuff today, tomorrow, day after. Christmas Day, Boxing Day. Maybe even Christmas Eve. Yeah, I'll do some Christmas Eve.
Wow.
Every day.
Every day
is a fun thing.
And James, I've forgotten James, for every podcast we do, he does a Korean word. And what's your Korean word of the week?
It's not really a word, it's more a phrase.
It better be Christmassy. Go on, sorry.
Oh, well, I don't know anything about Christmas in Korean, so I'm going to have to just go with a general phrase of, are you okay? Which you can ask me for a Christmas. It's a good phrase to know.
That fabulous Christmas thing, and weird people do say that, especially in...
Are you okay?
Yeah, especially in London on a Friday night, on the last day when they're all drinking.
Yeah, and that's Quinchin.io.
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 Quinchin.io, okay.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Quinchin.io, that's what I'll say tomorrow.
Yeah, to go on the street saying it.
Yeah.
No one might know what you mean.
Quinchin.io.
Have you not had the opportunity to learn any Christmas words?
No. I was going to, but it didn't come up.
Unbelievable. Now, in this podcast, we're going to do something special, because what we're going to do, we did a special last week, and it's the first one James didn't do because he couldn't do it, and we had to do it short notice.
You don't have to remind me.
I'm so sorry, but we had to do it short notice.
The streak is over.
I know. And we did an Xbox Series X special last Friday, so give that a listen if you haven't done. So we just me and Neil that time.
Good one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. Yes, we missed James. Though. We did miss James. And just before we go, someone else has been on the podcast before. Richard. Richard is 30 years old today, so I just want to say happy birthday to Richard.
Happy birthday, Richard.
You won't be listening to this. You'll be drunk. He's 30. I can't remember 30.
He's getting old now.
Oh, God. I wish I was 30. And then what we're going to do today is we're not going to do the usual stuff, which is news reviews, but we're going to do questions, our normal questions things, but we're going to do our best highlights of games for the year. We're going to do three each before the official Xbox Hub list goes up from all the reviewers soon, doesn't it, Neil, I think?
Yeah, between Christmas and New Year, we try and do it. Because, well, it's not the end of the year until then, is it? So,
no, exactly.
You know, these people doing like Game of the Year lists in end of November.
I know.
Just as bad as putting your Christmas tree up in October.
Exactly.
It's true. Yeah.
And I've played some brilliant games in December. Some of my best games. So it's like you'd have missed out on those. Okay, so let's do. Should we do some questions? Every 2 weeks we asked our guests on the podcast some questions, some deep, meaningful questions, so I can build up a portfolio of their psyches, their six psyches. So we're going to do some questions now. They'll start with a question that we can all go around and answer in a round table. Does that make sense?
Go for it.
Yeah. So number question one. What mythical creature do you wish actually existed? I'm going to ask.
Unicorn.
Oh, James is straight away. Why unicorn, James?
Because it's so beautiful and magical and colourful.
Where would you keep it?
In the shed. I'd give it a pillow.
So you're going to get this beautiful, wonderful creature. You're going to ram him in the shed.
Yeah, it's for my eyes only. No one else can see it.
So you're almost like those, I'm not going to say those people who lock those poor people up in their underneath bunkers and stuff. You're basically putting a prisoner of a unicorn in a shed so you could just see it through a peephole.
Pretty much.
Good, yeah. I like that. Unicorn. Neil, what about you? Any idea? Because I know how much you love mythical creatures.
I do. I want one of those lions that flies.
A griffin?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess it is a griffin.
Why would you...
in the complete exact opposite to what James is doing, because what he's basically said is total animal cruelty, I would just let it fly and do what it wants and go where it wants.
What happens if it just wants to kill loads of people?
Well, fair enough. Not an issue, is it?
That's the way with a unicorn.
Yeah.
It could go around horning people.
Could go around what?
Horning people.
Okay, good. Good. Oh yeah.
I'm glad he clarified that.
Yeah, good. Good. We don't want random hornings. Okay.
Oh, impaling.
Yeah, impaling.
That's a better word.
That's a better word. Good.
I'm tired.
I like that. So griffin and a unicorn. I'm gonna go for mermaid. I've always liked the look of a mermaid in my head.
I was going to go with mermaid as well, but
I would just have a bit
flying lion's better.
Yeah. What happens if you were a mermaid that was, you just had the bottom half human and the top half like a fish? What would they be called?
Monstrosity.
The result of a nuclear reaction.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's good. Like that, straight away. Okay, what is the word you absolutely hate people for using? So there's one word that you hate more than another. Neil, you got one in your head?
The C word. The four-letter C word. I can't stand it.
Why can't you stand it? I'm just curious.
I don't know. I've never liked it. I've never used it. I've never liked it. I don't like people using it. It's just horrible. But I'm more than up for swearing and whatever.
Yeah.
But not the four-letter C word.
I like that, Neil. You go, I'm up for swearing.
Oh, damn right.
Yeah. For a night out. If you want me out for a night, I'll be up for some swearing.
Who wants to go to the pub, sit around the table and just swear each other? I'm there. But do not use that C word.
Don't use the C word. Fair enough.
Well, I used to work with somebody who disliked the word nipple.
Really? And,
yeah, it used to freak her out.
Oh, God.
I don't know why. I'm not sure, though. It's not, there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No.
Hmm.
Depends what context you use them in, it.
Well, any context with her.
Fair enough. What about you, James?
I don't know. I quite like words in general. I don't dislike any.
It's
one of the few things that actually I don't mind anything about words.
What?
I don't find anything negative about them.
One word that really
apart from the C word.
Oh, same as you.
Yeah, it's very awkward when someone says it.
Right.
When you think, why are they saying it? There's better words that you could say instead of that.
Oh, there we go.
To get your point across.
I like this. Yeah.
Nice. Or moist.
Moist
is a weird word.
Yeah, moist is a kind of strange word, isn't it?
That's got me over the years.
Yeah.
Ugh.
There we go. Moist. That's yours.
Yeah.
I think mine is synergy. For some reason, the word synergy gets on my nerves. I think because I hear banks using it or businesses saying, I want to create a real synergy here. There's a real synergy between us.
It's almost like verticality, isn't it?
Yeah.
What the hell's that?
I don't know. It's all those kind of weird buzzwords that they use now.
Get before around.
Yeah, those business buzzwords start driving me.
People half our age use, Gareth, that's what you mean, isn't it?
True, yeah.
Hey, I don't use it.
No.
I'm half your age.
No.
Well, you might do in private.
You might be all synergying up. That's what we might be doing. Yeah, I like the way this Christmas tree looks in the room. It creates a real synergy with the rest of the space. Okay, now question number three, good. What is the craziest thing you've seen someone do at the workplace? Neil.
At the workplace?
Yeah. George, shall I start this off? Because I've got one in my head.
Yeah, you go first. Yeah.
When I was younger, I temped a lot in London when I first came here. And I temped with this, we turned up at this one office job, right, with a temp. Two of us, and we were sat there and we were brought in to do some filing, and we got there and the other guy just sort of like, the guy was explaining what he wanted us to do, and the other guy just sort of looked at me and then went, I'm just going to go to the loo. Where's the loos? And the guy pointed to where the loos are. The temp walked into the loos, and we waited for about 20 minutes. He hadn't come out, and he went, do you want to go and see if he's all right? And I went in there, and the small bathroom window was open. He just legged it. Just didn't want to do the job. Got through the bathroom. It was only a bit of filing. But obviously, he just couldn't face it. Yeah, that was the craziest thing I've had in the workplace. Neil, anything?
No, I don't know. I don't think I've ever had anything really, really crazy like that.
Fair enough.
I used to work in, when I was 16, I used to work in retail. People used to eat pick and mix, but that was about it.
What do you mean? They used to just take them, the customers, off the
boat. Well, you know, I know the staff. If you're doing a 17-hour day, you need a bit of pick and mix to keep you going, don't you?
Yeah, you do, yeah.
But, no, I don't know.
No.
I really don't know.
What about you, James?
Although going back to kind of your thing, there was one guy that used to go to the loo, and he'd been in there an hour. Like, quite easily, an hour. What the hell are you doing for an hour? Apart from getting out of work.
Yeah, getting out. Snake. I mean, snake on the Nokia.
Oh, no, this is way before that. Yeah. This is when people have pagers.
Oh, wow.
And that reminds me, that was quite a weird thing. There was another guy, and he would always come into work with his pager, and he'd attach it to his belt. Look at me, I've got a pager, I'm cool. And he'd be checking it like every 5 minutes to see if somebody had messaged him. But they hadn't, because nobody knew what a pager was.
That's sad.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, back in the early 90s, so, yeah.
Yeah. James, what about you? Anything?
Nothing comes to mind.
No. It's a strange one, isn't it? It's a hard one.
Yeah.
I've had people as well. I remember we had to audition. So when I was a director once, I had to audition people. And there's a board of us directing, and it was drama school auditions a long time ago. And then one of the directors went, do something surprising to the person. And the person picked up a chair and threw it through the window. Yeah. And that
really happened.
Yeah, it was that, and then they got called out. That was the only other thing. 98.
Did they get the job?
No. Mentor, obviously, I had problems. the whole thing through a glass window.
Yeah, but it was quick thinking of
it. Well, yeah, it was. It did surprise us. Yeah. Okay. Now we're going to do quick would you rather questions, you know, which we always do. Neil, these are your three very quick answers. Would you rather be locked in a room that is constantly dark for a week, or a room that is constantly bright for a week?
Oh, dark, without question.
Good.
Without question.
Would you rather find your true love, or a suitcase with £5 million inside?
5 million, you say?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, it's tempting, isn't it?
You're pretty tempted.
Yeah, I think I'll probably take that and take second best on the other one.
Good, I like that. Good. Would you rather have a flying carpet or a car that can drive underwater?
What, James Bondy style?
Yeah.
Lotus. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Car underwater, yeah.
I had one of those when I was younger. Not like a real one, but I had one in the bath.
Oh, I had one of those as well, yeah.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
Best car ever, wasn't it, really?
It was a good
car. Yeah, definitely that.
Yeah, I think that as well. James, would you rather give up watching TV movies for a year or give up playing games for a year?
Give up TV for a year. Gaming's just too much to give up.
Too much?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Is that because you make your own experiences playing games, whereas TV and films, you're just watching somebody who, you know, somebody like Gareth who's had this idea in their head and think, oh, that'd be good. We'll turn it into a TV show.
You create memories with gaming as well. Whereas you watch a TV show, you think, oh, that was all right. Next one.
Okay, good. All right. Would you rather be able to teleport anywhere or be able to read minds?
Teleport.
Yeah, definitely I think teleport. Yeah, good.
First start career.
Yeah. Would you rather be a famous director or a famous actor? This is really insightful now.
Actor, obviously.
Why?
No one really knows many directors. You don't get that much.
Steven Spielberg.
Acclaim. Yeah, but come on. How many actors get?
Yeah, but then you'll have all that. You'll be behind. No, I'm not going to say anything. No. That's your choice. That's your choice.
In front of the camera, not behind.
That's good.
What level of actor do you have to be to want to be that actor?
What do you mean? Like, how famous?
Do you have to be a Tom Cruise, or can you get away with being, I don't know, somebody middle of the road? I don't know any middle of the road actors.
It could be. I mean, it's just like you're, I think, famous for looking Tom Cruise or Christopher Nolan or Steven Spielberg in this question. Oh, the Blade.
The Rock.
Come on, you want to be the Rock, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Come on.
We're not going to talk about the Rock. We like the Rock, but Jesus.
We love the Rock.
Okay, I'm going to move on because we're talking to we've got so much to get through. We've got a short space of time tonight.
Let's do this.
It's Christmas time. Let's talk about 2019. I was about to say 2020. It isn't 2020 yet. 2019. Before we go into games, which we will do, I promise you, any minute now, what were your personal highlights each? Anything that happened in 2019 that you both liked, that you were proud of? James?
I think it was really just going to so much wrestling this year. So many wrestling events.
Right.
And one was quite an historical one. It was the first, I think, time that an all-women's Japanese promotion had toured in this country.
Wow.
And I went to their first show. Wow. It was brilliant.
And their last?
Hopefully not.
It's quite a niche, that, isn't it?
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. It's very popular.
Was it busy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it had some of the big WWE stars there as well.
And it's just make it clear, you weren't wrestling. You were
no.
Okay, good.
I was in the audience.
Right, good.
Because it was all female.
Good.
I didn't want to intrude.
Well, the audience was all female as well.
No, but yeah, it was a good year for wrestling.
Good. That's good. Neil, what about you?
Well, it's obviously bike related, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
I guess, probably. I've ridden 13,000 kilometres this year. I've done nearly 500 hours of riding. Nearly 100,000 metres of climbing. That'll do.
That's pretty good. Bad.
I wanted nearly 500. I'm 492 I'm on. So I can't leave it at that.
No.
I'm coming to the end of the year and I don't really know where I'm going to fit these last few hours in, but I'm going to have to do it.
Christmas Day?
Well, if I got my way, I'll be out Christmas Day, yes.
Okay. Be nice to do a ride on Christmas Day.
Yeah. Every year I try and beat my previous year. And last year it's still quite a long way. I did like 5,500 kilometres. Right. And so I thought, oh, I'll set a target for 6,000. And I got through 6,000 by like May. But I had to change that. And now up to 13,000. So I'm quite happy with that.
Very good.
It's good.
Very good. Yeah. Good. Okay.
I
think mine was, this is going to sound awful because it sounds like I promoted it, isn't it? I did a web series called Pitches that we made very quickly and that finished in May and it's done all right. It's gone out and done festivals, but we made it for £7.50 in the end of our budget, and it's done better than some of my other stuff we spent a lot of money on. So it's gone out and done festivals, and it's still going. So that all finished. So that's one of the proudest things. And one of the big proudest things that none of us have talked about is us doing this podcast since August. We're still going.
Yeah. We are still going.
Yeah.
I can't really know I've cancelled it.
No, that's it. It's hard to cancel stuff now.
We need to get some more guests on that are going to cause some issues.
Yeah.
And get us in trouble.
Yeah.
I think.
Definitely. We can think of a few of those.
Or we just stick with it.
Yeah.
And hope it goes on forever and ever.
Ever and ever, exactly. Well, number 12? 12 now. God, it's doing well. Right. Mm-hmm. Let's talk games. That's what we've been after 25 minutes of
games?
Chat. Right. Now, we've got three games. We've got three games each. So let's start with Neil. You do your first game from your list you want to talk about for best of
2019. So we're talking best games we've played in 2019, yeah?
Yes.
Not necessarily game of the year, but what we've had most fun with.
Yeah, it's your kind of enjoyed. Your three favourite games of the year. Yeah?
Right. First up, Lonely Mountains Downhill.
Oh.
Little indie game that came on Game Pass, I think, if I remember
right. It did, yeah.
Whereas you, obviously, my passion for bikes and cycling has kind of crossed over here. And you get on a mountain bike or a BMX and you get stuck to the top of a hill and you have to get down to the bottom as quickly as you can and as safely as you can. And it's really, really good. Brilliant little art style. Loads of challenges and stuff like that to take in. And I was really, really impressed with it. So, yeah, Lonely Mountains Downhill.
Have you had a go, James?
No, I haven't actually.
It's really worth having a crack. It's great. Yeah. It's really good. The style, like Neil said, the art style is really good. I don't know why. Why is it good, Neil? Why is the art style?
Well, it's simple, but it's also detailed. Mm. And it does every job you want it to do. So, obviously, going down a mountain, you've got different terrains and stuff like that. So, some of them are grassy and you kind of slide down those and you hit a load of gravel and stones and you hear it. The stones picking up and you lose the traction and stuff like that. And then you're going through valleys and across rivers and loads of stuff. But the art is what really kind of sets it apart from everything else. It's just simple, effective. That's all you need.
I don't know how I missed that one. It was on Game Pass. I'll have to download it.
Yeah, it came with Game Pass. I'm pretty sure it debuted on Game Pass as well.
Yeah, I think it did.
I think you're right. Yeah, you mentioned it.
It's really worth playing, isn't it?
Yeah, and the amount of challenge in it. So each run is split into like 6 or 7 or maybe 8 different sections. And so if you have to get to the bottom in a certain amount of time and you mess up one section, you're only going back maybe 10 seconds. And that's what keeps the replayability going, because you can nail a certain specific bit and you hit it and you hit it and hit it. And there was a couple of levels I must have been doing them for, I don't know, a good hour each. If you think they're over in a couple of minutes, really.
Yeah.
But I wanted to nail specific bits and get on leaderboards and stuff like that. But it's really cool.
Yeah, it's
there's a bit of a grind to get different bikes and stuff. But the fun in going through that grind is pretty decent. So
it's on Game Pass, but do you know how much it is normally? I think it's cheap, isn't it?
I think it's 18 quid, 16 yeah, quid 16 or 18 quid.
It's great. Good.
But, I think it's still on Game Pass as well.
Yeah.
I've noticed it's come off. But I gave it 4.5 out of 5 on my review. Have a read, have a play. Good game.
Good, good choice, Neil. Good start. That's a solid start. What about you, James?
Well, I think we played this together, Gareth. Trine 4.
We did, yeah.
I'm a sucker for co-op games, so anything that's going to let me play it with someone, even with your abilities, it's still going to be enjoyable. but it's about, I think it's a. Is it a prince that's meddling with dark magic?
Yeah.
And it's about dealing with these nightmares and you solve puzzles along the way and this platforming. But the puzzles aren't your normal puzzles. It's all about physics and like using ropes to pull things and dropping. Is it Amadeus, the wizard?
Yeah.
He can drop objects, can't he, on certain buttons to
like
open little, doors and
little cubes you can summon.
Yeah, and planks. And it's so creative in the way you can solve the puzzles.
And that what I really like about it, and that's how we played, is that you might have a level and then you might do it one way, but we might have someone who might jump onto a cube and then jump off to get out. But there are probably there's lots of different possibilities how you could do it. So someone else could play it, and their combination might have a different way of completing the level.
And you can botch it, can't you?
You can botch it. A little bit. Yeah.
Which helped you quite a lot.
It helps me a lot.
And they're not short levels either. Every level can take
a long game.
Easily an hour.
Yeah.
And the visuals, it really is a fairy tale world, isn't it?
It's really lovely. I mean, they've always looked pretty, haven't they, those Trine games in the last generation, but this is really looking.
I'd never heard of Trine before this one. I've never played them before. But this made me play the previous three. And they're not quite as good.
Yeah.
But Trine 4 is definitely worth playing.
I think, because I think I met the developers when we went this year, when I went somewhere.
Yeah.
It was last year. And we.
Is that Modus?
Yeah, and then they were saying, and they were completely like young. So by the time the first lot came out, they weren't even alive, probably. But they just took, I think, and did a best of with Trine 4. That was what they said. They took what people loved about it and then made it into something, you know, new still, but still what people loved. And I think they've done a great job. I think
you're saying that they took all the best bits out of 1, 2, and 3. And
yeah.
Threw it all into 4.
I think basically. So, yeah, basically.
And then made it better.
Made it better. I'm thinking of it's what do I give it? I gave it 4.5, I think I reviewed it. So
yeah. I'd agree with that. It's almost a 5.
It's almost a 5. Why didn't I give it a 5? God.
Because you're harsh.
I'm not
harsh. It was the fighting, wasn't it?
That was it. Yeah, fighting and the boss battles a little bit as well. But it's a great game. It's a great game.
Very clever puzzles.
Yeah. What about as a solo experience? If you played it together, is it any good just one person?
Yeah, I think it's fine one person because you're swapping between the characters, aren't you, as one person?
Yeah. You lose that element of, like I said, creating memories that you would do in co-op. You remember stuff in co-op.
Yeah, and you've got someone to work it out with, haven't you?
Yeah, you had me, luckily.
Yeah, because I just could say, James, what the hell do we do here?
Yeah,
and James was
and I'm like, come on, Gary. Just jump.
Jump.
Press the A button. That's all it takes.
Yeah, how do we get off this main menu? Yeah. Says it along the bottom. Press A to begin.
It's funny because it's true.
Right, now it's my turn. Thank you. Trine 4, that was good. 4.5. Now, I don't think this has been a great year for gaming, before I start. I don't think it's been the best year. After last year, I thought it was great. Let's not be a brilliant bunch. And I've got this terrible feeling the first half of 2020 is not going to be great. But anyway, so... And I've only given 2 5s this year. And I think there were 2 indie games. So I'm going to start with the first one, which is the 5. It's a game called Stella. S-T-E-L-A. And Stella is by... 363 Studios, is that right? They do Halo games. They're doing the new Halo game.
Yeah, Infinite.
And they put this little indie game out maybe sort of October, November time, and we got a review code. But I haven't seen it anywhere else at all. You know, no one's talked about it. No one reviewed it that much. I can't really see it on the store. It's not focused anywhere. It's a really weird thing. They kind of just threw it out there and it didn't have much publicity. But obviously, it's had some money put into it, and the big comparison is Inside. It looks like Inside slightly, and it plays like Inside, but it's its own completely different world. This whole universe, you sort of play this woman who just sort of wakes up, and has to travel through this world that's completely dying and falling apart. So it's alien world, and she's just trying to get out. So it has that Inside thing about it's a platformer with lots of puzzle solving. But the design and the look of the thing is just stunning. And the soundtrack is like, wow, it's just amazing. And I think I described in the review, it was like a kind of, one of those kind of rock prog albums that came out in the sort of 70s and 80s, like the War of the Worlds musical or something like that. It just feels like a thing you would listen to and play, you know, visually and see stuff. It's just this kind of whole complete package. It was a brilliant game. 3 to 4 hours long. Perfect. And I was completely hooked. It's one of those games that I started and I had to just do maybe in a day or something. I think I did it.
I think the fact that you give that a 5, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that just shows that, if anything, it's been the year of the indies, hasn't it?
Oh, definitely.
The indies have taken over.
Yeah.
And, I mean, 3 to 4 hours, it doesn't sound like a lot. But I suppose it was a good enough experience. It's just about right, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you have that for 14, 15 quid, I think that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just weird that it didn't really go... I mean, it's weird that it didn't go into Game Pass. I think that would have done a lot of good for it. It'll be interesting to see how it's sold. Just, you know, I just haven't seen it anywhere. At one point,
well,
I thought...
The problem is a lot of the marketing is still based around... Well, look, this is Call of Duty. You want to play this, you don't want to play anything else. And there's a lot of gamers that still will not even touch an indie game. And we've just mentioned three of them: Lonely Mountains, Trine, and Stellar.
Yeah.
And people would just dismiss them just because, first of all, because they don't come with a 60 quid price tag.
Yeah.
And secondly, because they're not in a shop. Yeah, yeah. Because they're only digital.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a shame.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's good. So I recommend definitely pick that up. Pick it up, play it. It's a kind of must from last year.
Do you know how much it is?
I think it was about $15.99 or something.
Yeah, standard price.
It would be really cheaper now, I think, probably, than one of those sales. Neil, what's your second one?
I will go with Grid.
Ah.
Now, I love racing games. And Codemasters put F1 2019 out, and that was amazing. It's the best F1 game that I've played probably since 2013. But then they came along with Grid, and they rebooted Grid. And I loved playing Toka back in the day and the previous Grid games. So this one was always going to be kind of right up there. But it's a brilliant racer. It's a brilliant arcade racer.
Why?
It's got just enough rubber banding to keep the field totally tight together. But if one person gets away at the front, you know you can just about, if you nail every apex of every corner and now every gear selection, you can catch them. And that, for me, is a massive draw, knowing that if your skills are good enough, you can win a race. And there's so much content on there as well. It's split across, I think it's 6, 7 maybe, different classes. So it covers touring cars, F1 cars, truck racing, everything you could want. So if you're looking for a racer, then yeah, Grid is amazing. And I've just in the last week completed the whole thing. It's the whole of the career mode, and I rarely do that.
And how long did that take nowadays? How many hours?
It's taken a while. I don't know. I haven't looked at my hours or anything like that. But it's taken a while.
And online, is it good online?
You know what?
What?
I don't know.
You've not tried it.
I've just played single player. It's so good as a single player game. So and whether I play it multiplayer or not, I don't know. Yes, I'm not sure. I did before with the old grids and stuff, but I just can't be bothered with multiplayer and stuff.
It was Carnage online before in the old grid.
It was good Carnage, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, most of the time, definitely.
Well, grid or was it Autosport? Yeah, that was the last one, wasn't it?
Yeah, Grid Autosport. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great game though.
Oh yeah. Original. Yeah. But they've really pulled out a bag with the reboot on this.
Okay, that sounds good. Agreed. Okay, do you think me and James will be skillful enough for it?
Well, you asked the big question. Will we be skillful enough for it?
Yeah.
Obviously not. Would you enjoy it? 100% you would.
Good. So a beginner like me, who's not, when you said change gears, when you said Apex, I don't know.
Oh, what you don't you're have about. To. Okay. You don't have to do all that. You can. Yeah. You can tune your cars. You can go as much depth as you want, but also you can just pick up a controller and you can play.
Can you bounce off the other cars when you turn the corner?
Oh yeah,
good.
That's yeah, what I'm you make rivals. You make rivals with them as well. So if you smash the AI too much, they'll become a rival. And so if you're trying to pass them, they'll block you.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Everything and that really good. And you've got a teammate as well, but you can make him a rival if you hit him too many times. Which is quite good fun.
What did we give that? Can we remember?
Darren reviewed it, and he also went to Cody's HQ for a preview event, and he loved it then, which is why he reviewed it. But he gave it a 4.5 out of 5, and he said that the multiplayer was decent. So there we go.
There you go. Yeah. Brilliant. Great. That's another good choice. James, your second game.
Well, I'm going to take it back to the indies again.
Good.
With Irony Curtain.
Get out.
From.
No, sorry, I'm joking. Tell me about this one.
Well, I Artifex Mundi developed it.
Yeah.
And they normally do the hidden object puzzle adventures.
Yes.
Where you've got to find that items within an environment. But then they started to make new games that are different. And Iron the Curtain is a point and click, a classic one. But it's got more modern, a modern feel to it.
Okay.
Basically, you go to an eastern country,
right,
and you've got to solve a mystery involving the glorious leader of that country.
Okay.
But the point and click puzzles aren't your normal kind of puzzles. It's using very limited resources.
Right.
You can find within the I think it's called Matryoshka. They're the Russian country.
Okay.
Essentially. I lost the train of thought.
No, it's all right. Yeah.
It's telling the story of what it used to be like in the Cold War era.
Ah.
But with a bit of humour, some really weird contraptions you make to solve puzzles. And the artwork is brilliant because it goes to the Western world as well and differentiate the two with vibrant colours for the Western world. And then the Eastern, it's really dark and murky. And it just looks really good.
And when did this come out?
Oh, it must have been middle of the year.
Okay.
I want to say August.
God, that I'd say so. I'd say it's about then.
That went past me completely, this game.
Yeah. But it's a good way to get a real story across. You know, it's inspired by real events and that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they tell it with humour. And they make light of the hardships.
Right.
But it's really... It's good to find like little Easter eggs in there. And little references to different parts of the pop culture and...
Yeah.
Yeah, unlike most point and click games, it doesn't drag on.
Okay.
It's to the point. It's quick. You solve the puzzle, next one. Solve the puzzle, next one. And I like that.
Yeah.
I think I gave it a 4.5.
Another 4.5. We've just been that short, haven't we, of these fives?
Yeah.
What's that one called again? It's called the I've say it again. What's it called?
Irony Curtain.
Okay. The Irony Curtain.
Yes.
Good. Okay. Another good one. Another good one I've got to play. I've got to play Grid. I've got to play this. Yeah. Good. Thank you, James. Irony Curtain. My second one is Control. So Control came out in August. I think Neil's played it. Neil reviewed it. Didn't you, Neil?
I reviewed it, yeah. Brilliant game.
James, good thing. And Control basically puts you in charge of this FBI agent, this director. And it goes into this kind of very strict... By the other people did Alan Wake, Remedy, and did something else that I can't remember the name of. And
Quantum Break.
Quantum Break, that's right. And so it plays with this idea of reality and time shifts and kind of psychic powers. And so you explore the kind of world of the FBI headquarters for this this section that deals with psychonesis and mind control and all these kind of things. And it's a big disaster has happened now with people experimenting with this and kind of going into different dimensions. And you're there to kind of like go through there and try to sort out the problems. But it's that's me making it sound simple. And it isn't simple. It's not a simple game. Narratively, it's really complex, I think. It's like a kind of amazing bit of sci-fi, isn't it? This whole story. And yeah. Neil, you're not a fan of the story games, are you? And this is one of the most complex stories there is, isn't it?
I don't like story games, but I loved Red Dead last year.
Mm.
And I'd probably go as far as say that Control is my game of this year. Even though, again, I didn't give it a 5, I gave it 4.5 because I haven't been back to it for maybe 6 weeks or so, but the map just kept on lagging and it wouldn't load properly. Mm. And it was really, really annoying. And I wasn't sure if it was because I had early access code or what it was, but I couldn't give it a 5 because of that. But the gun, which is like one of the main elements of the gameplay, was brilliant. The way that gun could morph into different guns, I thought was superb. And picking stuff up, like taking a bit of a wall and throwing it.
Oh, gotcha. The environmental stuff is amazing.
Probably the best bit of gaming that I have played this year.
And it's got...
And the story, and again, the story, yes, it's complex, but you can get through it quite easily.
Oh,
you
don't
have to take everything in.
No, and I don't think you will be able to take everything in because it felt like an episode of Twin Peaks or a David Lynch bit and something, but especially these kind of strange kind of little realms. There's a bit when you end up in a, without spawning it, a sort of hotel area for a long time, and that's
very mad, David Lynch. Isn't it? Absolutely mad.
There's one level in it that we won't spoil ever called, and we can call it the Ashtray Maze. It's already one of the best bits of game design and playable, you know, sections you're never going to have, isn't it?
I said to you, I was playing it, and I think I just sent the review live, and one of the first things I said to you was the maze. Those are the only words I said, but the maze is amazing. It's stunning.
It's just a brilliant bit of design, and it just makes you go, oh, you're just like, wow. Yeah. It's one of those moments.
But it comes quite late in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's really near the end. It's an amazing, and there's lots of DLC coming free for it now. So I might get, I probably will go back at some point. But it's an amazing game. And I think it's spawned, it will have sequels galore, I think, because there's so much you can do with that world.
I think there's some first bit DLC is coming in March, isn't it? So the first like proper story DLC is coming in March. Paid premium stuff, I think.
Yeah.
So that's when you go back to it, really.
But Control, that's definitely worth picking up. That's one of the, like you said, it's either the game of the year or it's near the top.
Yeah, but Remedy make good games, don't they?
Yeah,
they don't make a lot of games, but they make bloody good games.
Yeah, and they're not frightened to try stuff out, which I like about them, especially the narratively one. Neil, your last game.
My last game is one that I've just been playing in the last few weeks, actually. Avicii Invector.
What in the hell is that?
Well, you know Avicii. Well, you might not know of Avicii because I didn't really know of Avicii. Now, Avicii was a DJ until he died last year.
Oh.
And this is a rhythm music experience. So it's, you know, a bit like Guitar Hero, a bit like Rock Band, but different. And he was working with Hello There Games and Y Productions before he died. And they released this on PS4, I think at the start of this year. Could be wrong, but I think it's the start of this year. And then they've done like a reboot and a relaunch. And it's come on Xbox One. I think possibly just PC as well. But you go through 25 of his songs, which you'll know some of them. I knew some of them, not all of them, but you'll know them if you listen to any type of music ever. And you just have to nail the button. So A comes along, you know, coming down the screen, hit A,
right.
Hit X, hit left on the thumbstick, hit the bumper. And you're controlling a little ship and you've got like three planes of gameplay and you kind of switch between these planes in every beat that you hit, you get extra points, you build combos, you get placed on the leaderboard. But it's brilliant. Oh. And it's so good that normally I sit at home, I'll stick a pair of headphones on, I'll sit in the corner, I'll listen to 90s skate punk all night long.
Right.
For the last couple of weeks, I've been listening to Avicii all night long. It's that good that even when I'm not playing the game, I want to listen to it. And it's got me into the music that he made. And I guess that's what the game was made for, to make people listen to his music some more.
Yeah.
And also, a percentage of the proceeds go to the Tim Bergling Foundation, who Tim Bergling is Avicii, or was Avicii.
Oh, wow. And he's young when he died, is he?
I think he was late 20s, maybe. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. But if you want a rhythm game, and there hasn't been an awful lot. Like Aero, I played, how many years ago? 3 years ago, possibly. And that's kind of the closest thing that I could think of to it. Slightly different, but close.
I've done a couple of indie ones and I can't remember the names of. Beat something. Beat mix. No, I can't remember that. Yeah.
This is right up there with some of the best kind of rhythm stuff you're going to play.
What did you give? What did you give it?
Can you guess?
4.5?
I did give it a 4.5. Wow. Only, again, because you've got easy, medium, and hard, and the hard gets absolutely nuts. It's doable, but it gets mad.
Right. But
there's multiplayer to it as well, so you get four-player split screen, and that works seamlessly. Wow. And you can have everybody playing at a different level, so even on multiplayer, you get an easier difficulty level for people that don't know their way around a controller at all. Basically, they're just pressing A every time they see an A for 3.5 minutes or 4 minutes, whatever it is. Whereas other people can then have their own bit up on the medium and hard. Brilliant.
Good. That's your last one. That's your lot, Neil. You're done.
Well done. See you later. Bye.
Bye. James, what's your last one?
Surprisingly, it's a big budget AAA game.
You can't have any of those here.
All right, so call it there then. Go on, Joe, you next.
What's it? What is it? What is this game?
The Division 2.
Oh, wow.
Another game that was enjoyed in co-op, or endured in co-op with you.
Hey, I was good at that game. I was helping you out at that one.
We worked really well.
We did. That. We did. It's a great, it's a pretty co-op fun. Yeah.
It is. I mean, for anyone who's not played it, you go... it's to Washington, D.C. this time, isn't it? I've basically got to clean up the streets, get rid of the thugs, like the hyenas and the outcasts, I think they were. And just save the world, like you would normally. I think the best thing about it, though, was every time you kill someone, there's always a chance of getting a shiny bit of loot. And when something drops, you're like, oh, what is it? And that's the best part of any game.
Yeah.
Is when you get rewarded for almost everything that you do. But it's amazing the amount of time they put into creating the environments as well. How often do we stand there and look around, like, the museums?
Yeah.
And take in the artwork and the little bits of, like, background lore into the world?
Yeah.
It's
I really loved is that, and I think every mission looked, every location or mission, it looked different. I mean, of course, you had your big areas where you knew you were going to have a firefight, but there were, it all looked. Yeah. You felt like you weren't going to the same place all the time, which you maybe had with the first one, if I remember. This one felt a little very more true. Detail.
And although it actually plays like the first one, it doesn't feel like it because of that. That really helps, doesn't it? The different.
Yeah. We've got to go back. We've got to go because we've got DLC to do, free DLC to play.
Yeah, I'm up for that. Yeah, definitely.
I'd like to go back. That's great.
If people haven't played it, get a few mates and just shoot the place up. Just do it.
And it's hard, isn't it? You know, we were getting to. I mean, this one, we felt when the last level, we thought, have we done it? Because we did it our first time, didn't we? I think we're the boss at the end. We were quite shocked because I remember the first one, it was like hell on earth, wasn't it? We were like,
With a helicopter.
Oh, God, that was horrible.
Crying,
didn't he? After dying for 20,000. But yeah, it's a great one.
I mentioned the crying.
But it's a brilliant, it's great to play with a friend. I don't know what it'd be like on your own.
It'd be hard, a lot harder on your own.
I played it a little bit by myself.
Ah.
I liked the original Division, and I quite liked this one. It was right, but yeah, it was difficult. Yeah.
Who reviewed the Division? Oh, me. Shit, Division 2 I did, didn't I? Yeah. What did I give it?
What did you give it?
4.5, I think.
Well, hey!
Yeah, I gave it a 4.
Did I give it a 4? I should have given it a 4.5.
I'm disappointed in giving it that.
Why did I give it a 4? That's a bit cruel, I think. I think it's a bit.
Is it because it was a breakpoint? Is that what you're upset about?
Yeah, it was. What was it, a 4 point? I think it should be a 4.5.
We can change it.
I'll change that now.
Yeah.
Good. States. Right, I'm going to do my last game. Thank you, James. You're down as well. Good. Hey. My last game is a game that I can't remember how to say properly, but it's A Plague Tale: Innocence. Is that right? No, I've got that wrong.
Oh, that's another amazing game.
Yeah, and that came out in May. And it was a game that I just saw, and I think no one else was kind of was interested in it, were they, at all, or even knew it was going to happen. And I remember seeing a sort of trailer for it and thinking, I really want this, the review, because I just loved the look of it. And I said to them, can I put myself down for this? And I don't think they would have been in a rush, because no one knew anything about it, did they?
No, it was all very under the radar, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's this game where you sort of, it's set in a kind of fictional world that's kind of very similar to in France in maybe the 13th century, if I made that up. And you travel through, you play this girl who's about 14, and you travel, something terrible happens at the beginning to her family in France, and you have to go with your little brother and travel through this world that's being sort of infected by just rats, like the plague. At that time, that's the same analogy. And these rats are just everywhere, and they're killing people in like hordes. And you're trying to find a cure for your brother, but also try to work out what's going on in this kind of weird world of magic and realism and everything else. And it, first of all, it just looks great. The kind of world looks really wonderful. It just feels really alive, doesn't it? Especially when you kind of go into the cities and towns. And then you've got these hordes of rats that look amazing. This kind of swirl.
Red eyes.
And there's hundreds of them. And you have to find ways of using light and traps to kind of get around them. And you can, towards the end, you learn more, you gain powers where you can actually control the rats to attack an enemy or to move in a certain area. It's just, gameplay-wise, it's really inventive. It does different surprises all the time, doesn't it, as you move along. And it's probably my game of the year. Controlling that one.
Mm. Yeah, that one I was too. Just going to say, I forgot all about this. But, yeah, that's kind of right up there, again, with Control. But, again, it's a story-based game that I shouldn't be liking, and I really liked.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's really
good. How much is it?
Well, it was normal. It was big price, I think. It was $44.99.
45 quid.
Yeah.
When it came out.
I don't know what
it'd be
worth it. Oh, yeah. I don't know what it'd be now. It'd be cheap now, I think, probably, wouldn't it?
They're in the Christmas sales.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't.
If you can get it for 25 quid, it's right, no
yeah. Better. Yeah, I think you'll get it for that. Especially, I reckon Boxing Day, it's going to come out maybe 24 quid or something. I don't know how it's sold. It was always, I think it got reviewed everywhere. Did really well, so. But yeah, I really loved that. It's what, 10 hours long, I think. And
maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, it's great. It's, everyone play it, and it's different. And
what did you give it?
I gave that a 4.5.
I'll tell you what. Next year, we're gonna have to bring in like 0.25 scores, I think, aren't we?
But I said to you, Neil. I said, I think this might be a 5. I think it's a 5 or 4.5. And I think you said, I think 4.5. That's what you said. But I think I was I'm an arm. And now I think about it, I think maybe it should be a 5.
You can't keep up in all your scores. There's two of them now.
I know. I've got to.
You've got to stick by it.
I know.
Stand with your score.
Well, there you go. That's our games. That's our games. Now
we've got a good game now.
Yeah, but we're gonna.
So it's nine good games.
Yeah.
Can we just run through them again? So it's Lonely Mountain, Grid, Avicii, A Plague Tale, Control,
Stella,
Triumphor, Stella,
Irony Curtain.
And what was the last one?
Division 2.
Division 2.
Tom Clancy.
Nine Stunning Games. And we'll stick all the links in the description of the podcast, shall we?
Yeah, that's good.
So people can read our reviews and...
Yeah, get a better idea.
Yeah.
Definitely. And also, look out on the Xbox Hub, because the actual... From all the reviews, the Game of the Years will be coming out soon. It would be the Game of the Year. 10 games. It would be the Indie Games of the Year, won't it?
Yeah, probably. It'd probably be a list of 10 Game of the Years, including Indies, and then a separate, probably 5 Indie Games of the Year. And that would be a collaboration between all of us. So there's probably about 12 of us now. We all go together, we all chat about it, we all score our stuff, and then we see which one is the best. And that's worked for us over the 6 years we've been around. So we'll do that again, and that'll be live kind of between Christmas and the new year, once I find a keyboard and write some stuff about it.
And then maybe it might be a Game of the Decade as well list that we did there as well, mightn't it?
A Game of the Decade,
it might be. I've just reminded you about that, haven't I? Yeah, it might be that as well. Now, we are going to wrap it up there, but next week we're going to meet up again just after Christmas, and we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to in 2020, aren't we?
Can we talk about our Christmas presents?
What, after? Yeah, after. Yeah, next week, that's what we're going to start with, the Christmas presents. That's a good idea.
But what if we didn't get any?
Well...
James lives up north, remember?
It's
a bit cold in Satsuma or whatever it is. Whereas us southern folk,
we'd be in like caviar, cars, gold,
a couple of new houses,
puppies everywhere,
truffles,
puppies everywhere. How was your Christmas roll? About loads of puppies. I'm fine, thank you very much. Remember though, the dog is not just for Christmas.
It isn't.
No,
it isn't.
Easter as well.
Mine stayed here under my office desk right now. Looking at me thinking, can I just go to bed? It's too late.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for listening. And also, please get me on Twitter, GB Briley. You can get James on Twitter. What's your Twitter?
LKIDUKO.
Good. And Neil, we can get you on Instagram, can't we?
Neil363. You can get me on Twitter as well, like I said before, but don't expect a reply.
And please go onto the YouTube channel, subscribe. Listen to you've got a little backlog of podcasts to listen to. If you're not listening to it the first time, it's another 11 ones. Try to listen to the Xbox Series X one last week, just to get some details there, some informed knowledge.
It was totally informed, and it was
full on knowledge.
Yeah, I think we probably know more about Xbox Series X than Phil Spencer.
Exactly, we do. So thank you, James. Have a happy Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you all.
Thank you, Neil. Have a happy Christmas.
Have a good one, everyone.
Have a Christmas, everyone. Goodbye. You've been listening to the official podcast of XboxHub.com. You'll be able to find all the notes of this show at www.thexboxhub.com/podcast. You can also check out our social feeds on Instagram and Twitter at the Xbox Hub, and search for the Xbox Hub on Facebook.